Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. The death of one baby is the death of one too many. Our next guest chaired South Dakota's Infant Mortality Task Force. We're joined today by South Dakota's First Lady, Linda Dugard. Welcome to In the Moment.
Thanks, Lori. Nice to be here.
It's nice to have you. And my records show 2011 is when this task force began. Is that when did you first become involved with the issue of infant mortality in the state?
Yes, it was 2011, Lori. Dennis was told as he was campaigning for governor that too many babies, healthy babies that are born before and don't celebrate their first birthday in South Dakota. And if you look at statistics, South Dakota just stuck out, was just a red flag among all the other states that had lower infant mortality rates. Mm-hmm. So he convened a task force in 2011 and asked me to chair it. So that's when I started.
And when you started and seeing those numbers and hearing some of those stories, because every number, reflects a story and grief and so much around the statistics, what were some of your initial thoughts?
Well, my first thought is that it's not possible that we were higher than surrounding states and in the nation. But in digging down and really looking at this issue, the numbers spoke for themselves. One of my former students even called and said, I'm leaving daycare today without my baby, my 4-month-old. And it's because he was laid on his stomach and never woke up. And that just really emphasized the work that we needed to start in South Dakota and continue to do.
That must have been an emotional conversation.
Oh my gosh. It was.
How often is that the story where, a baby dies in the care of someone other than the parent?
Well, in South Dakota, we have a lot of working two-family homes. So you rely on daycares and grandparents and other relatives to watch that child. So we knew once we started this effort that it would take a lot of different groups to get on board. So we were just diligent about talking to new moms, talking to grandparents, talking to daycare providers, anyone that would have any kind of interaction with that infant, and just pointing out what safe sleep looks like and what should happen around that new baby.
Let's talk about safe sleep a little bit, because when you go online and see some of the pictures of a baby in a crib, no blanket, no stuffed puppy, no mobile hanging over the crib, that's new to some people. Did you find that a lot of people said or told you stories about how, I slept, my kids were raised in a different way? Did you have to overcome people's habits and perceptions of what safe sleep was?
Oh, exactly. And that's what I started out with, Lori. I said, all three of my kids slept on their stomachs. I had bumper pads all around them. I had stuffed animals in the crib. I had blankets on top of them. And I said, too many babies died that way. So now we need to reverse what we are thinking and doing and start with three real simple ABCs on the alone, on their back, in a crib. And alone means just what you said, Lori, absolutely alone, laying on their back, no bumper pads, no stuffed animals. You can put a sleep sack on them, but they don't need big, heavy blankets. Hmm. Smoking is another thing when you look at the environment. There shouldn't be any kind of cigarette smoke or that in, around the child at all, but especially at bedtime.
Right.
And then on their back, and then in a crib, And part of the task force was the tribal relations director. And he said, let me tell you, the first whole year of my daughter's life, she slept I slept on a couch and she slept on my stomach. And over and over in the task force meetings, we were told stories about how children get wedged between the couch and their parent, or fall off their parent when they're sleeping on their chest, or get suffocated or smothered in a bed. And over stories about how that child just needs to be alone in their own crib. And then that's why we started Cribs for Kids in South Dakota. And what that is a program that new moms and dads are asked, tell us where your baby's going to sleep. Initially, we said, do you have a safe place for your baby to sleep? Well, of course, a new parent is going to say, absolutely. You know, whether it be a drawer or the floor or whatever, they consider that safe. So we got better at that and started asking the question, tell us where your baby's going to sleep. And then they would describe, you know, that they either have a crib, and that's when we found out when they did not have a place for that baby to sleep. So we started Cribs for Kids in South Dakota, and we've given out over 9,000 of them already. Right. And what it is a pack and play and a sleep sack and a DVD telling exactly about safe sleep, a children's book that goes through all the steps, and a pacifier. So, and a crib sheet is all included in that kit. And the birthing hospitals have those available. The WIC offices are probably our biggest champions. They're with those parents a lot and are in communication with them. So,
is the main indicator of infant mortality, you know, a sleeping situation, or are there other factors? You mentioned tobacco. What about prenatal care and other things? It's a complex issue, yes?
Exactly. There were about six things that we identified, and tobacco use was definitely one of them. Tobacco use while the mom is pregnant. So we really doubled down on our efforts there and looked at the South Dakota Quit Line and offer a 24/7 resource with smoking cessation products and even a session with a quit coach who makes follow-up contacts with those new parents as well and text messages. Mm-hmm. So we're making strides in that area as well. So tobacco use, vaccinations was another area, Lori, where we like to form a cocoon around that new baby, where parents, grandparents, anyone that is in contact with the child, make sure they have their flu vaccination and whooping cough vaccinations are all up to date, so that you're forming a cocoon of disease protection around that child.
You had specific materials targeting grandparents. Tell me, you know, how that was developed, put together, and what you hope the impact of that could be. Why reach out to grandparents?
Well, Lori, I thought you'd never ask.
Start there.
Dennis and I have moved to Pier. We came to Pier with zero grandchildren, and we are leaving with five, maybe more, but five for sure. So right now our grandchildren are ages 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. So we thought we were the grandparents that used the old method of sleep. So we knew other grandparents were in the same boat. So we thought grandparents are the ones that really need to be educated on the new safe sleep practices. And so we started doing brochures. We started TV ads, radio ads, targeting grandparents.
I look at one of the photos of you surrounded by kids holding an infant, and I don't know if you're acting or not, but you look awfully happy in that photo.
Oh, I sure was.
The more the merrier.
2 hours. That picture took 2 hours to shoot. As it was late morning, and even though we had made sure they had something in their tummies, they were very active at that time, and one would stand and the other one would sit and the other one wanted mommy, and so it went on. But no, it's been great.
You probably read them a book and they all calmed down, right?
Oh, exactly. Yeah.
Let's Let's talk. We have about 2 minutes left. If you're just joining us, First Lady Linda Dugard is my guest. We're talking about the Infant Mortality Task Force. And at the State of the State address this year, Governor Dugard mentioned the fine work you had done here. And he got emotional looking back at the time he spent and your support of him. What was it like to sort of watch that speech and enter this final year of his service to South Dakota in the governor's mansion?
Oh, it was emotional for me, Lori, too. I just thought, well, this is the last time. And we had all three of our children were with us and a couple spouses. And just thinking back on when we moved up here and we said, oh, my gosh, what have we gotten ourselves into? And then looking at the job and how we could make an impact together. And just looking down at all the senators and representatives and what great friends we've made with so many of them and how we're really going to miss the whole process and that. But anxious about going home, too, and spending more time with our two kids and grandchildren and that on the other end of the state, too.
As we wrap up, any information you want to share with people where they can connect with CRIBS for South Dakota Kids or website resources? Where do they go to find materials to find assistance?
Well, if you go to my website, linda.dugard@state.sd.us, or just Google my name, you should come up with the Infomortality website, and that'll direct you there. One thing that I haven't mentioned yet, Lori, is that South Dakota has won the Text for Baby Award many years in a row for smaller states. And it's information that you put the gestation when the baby's going to be born, and then you get weekly updates on what you should be feeling, what you should be doing, what size the baby is, and things like that. So it's the word text, T-E-X-T, the number 4, and then baby. And several new moms always put that in their phone. In fact, I was with my daughter, Sarah, in the hospital after she had had her baby the day before, and she said, oh, my phone said I should be having my baby today. So a great resource for parents that are going to have a baby and parents that have had a child.
We'll put that up on our website at listen.sdpb.org. We are out of time, but thank you so much for being with us, Linda Dugard. We appreciate it.
You're welcome. Thanks, Lori.